a suspect or a prospect. And incidentally, if you want to learn how to fill this thing out, I am not going to take the time to do it right now. There is a 17-minute video on this on ronlegrand.com, right on the home page. What's it called? Virtual assistant training. Yeah. Down the way, second page now. Virtual assistant training. I spent 17 minutes teaching you how to fill this out. And there's also a new CD that we just posted to teach you how to find the sellers to call to fill that out, right? Can you tell me how to get to that? The new CD I just did, the 42-minute one. Finding sellers. For Gold Club only. All right. Okay, Gold Club members, that's coming out Friday. Okay, the next issue of the magazine. All right. Anyway, that new CD is going to be available to all you Gold Club members. I'm going to tell you how to get on Gold Club here in just a minute if you're not a member. In fact, we're going to go on the site. I'm going to show you where to find the agreements and lessons that you need here. Anyway, this property information sheet is the heartbeat of your business. Without it, you got no business. And if you look at it, you'll see in the middle of the page is where we ask the key questions. Will you sell for what you owe? Will you lease purchase, and will you take your monthly equity and monthly payments? If it's free and clear, you go to the right. If there's a mortgage on it, you go in the middle. And if there's a mortgage that is not too far off from the loan balance and the asking price, if there's a small gap there, then we ask the question on the left, and that is, will you sell for what you owe? I have three behind me here that I'm going to go to in a minute that are real deals that we just got last day or two. And notice the stars. We must have the answers to the stars. Absolutely cannot do anything without these things built in. And neither can you guys. We get these all the time, don't we? Every time we do a class, here comes a bunch of these things with the blanks in them, like we're supposed to make them up and put something in there. Guys, if you don't know the mortgage balance, you have no way to determine whether it's a suspect or a prospect. The whole deal is going to revolve around the mortgage balance and the payment, and then what the seller asks. So that must be filled in. And you'll see the stars in the critical blanks. Of course, the center is critical. Must have yes or no answers on this. And your VA, at least our VAs, will have these answers for you when they come to you. Now, they won't get them all because sometimes the seller just refuses to give the mortgage balance, even though the script on the next page, page 11, is used on them. And there is your script. If the seller says it's none of your business, there's the script. Well, our VAs use that script on page 11 to explain to them why we need the mortgage balance. And then, of course, if we still can't get it, then you should call them, because a lot of times the seller will not give the mortgage balance to the VA when they know they're not the principal, but they will to the principal, correct? If your experience,
yeah. You're going to get that.
So just don't assume that it's not a deal just because you can't get the mortgage balance. VAs can only try, and they're doing the best they can, and honestly, that's one of the things that they're trained to do, and we stay on them. That is to get a yes or no answers here and to get that mortgage balance. The rest of this is pretty simple information to get.
Let me just interject, if I may. Just want to reiterate that point. If the VA does not get you the mortgage information, it does not mean you don't have a deal. You will get it. You have to get it to verify, obviously, factual data and whether or not it is a suspect or prospect.
But yeah, you do.
Many times I've seen people say, well, this isn't a deal, and discard it because they don't get the mortgage information. If the seller is willing to own or finance it, you're assuming it's pretty clear, but if they will lease purchase, I want you to take the next step, and obviously you're going to need to find the mortgage information. But don't discard or get discouraged if the VA is not able to get it.
Again, you shouldn't discard any of these till they've been called. Mm-hmm. VA is going to call you and tell you which one to get to the top, and that's the yeses. So call the yeses, but then call the noes. And you'll find a lot of deals in the noes, and you'll find a lot of the yeses you called, the information doesn't match what they told the first time. It's not the VA's fault, guys. When you call sellers, you call a seller three different times, you're probably looking at three different answers. I can't tell you how many times I've seen that be the case over the years. All right, so your script is on page 11, and it clearly makes the case why we got to have the mortgage balance. And then if we can't get it, if we can't get the mortgage balance, to me it's probably a C-minus prospect, but it's still a prospect until it's verified that they just don't want to do business with us. And just so you know, we don't want to do business with anybody who wants all cash and retail price for their house. So let's make that clear. If they want all cash and retail price, I'm not mad at them. I just can't do business with them. Pretty soon you're going to be one of them. I mean, don't you want all cash and retail price? Don't we? Yeah. When we can get it. But just can't buy houses if they don't have terms. This is what you've got to keep in your head. No termy, no dealy. No terms, no deal. We don't get terms. That's out. You cannot make unmotivated people motivated. So if we can't get the terms, if we can't get a yes to, I will lease purchase, I will sell with owner financing, or I'll sell for what I owe, you're done. You're out, kaput, over, quit chasing dead ends. Work with the people who want to work with you and whack the rest.
And just to clarify one more thing, if they are, do want retail term, retail price, but they will work with terms, you still have the potential.
Correct. To good point. Don't confuse retail with all cash. Okay. We do a lot of deals at retail price, but with terms. In fact, let me go ahead to these sheets right up here. Can you zoom in on me, guys? Scott, you help me here because he just came in. All right, got one on the left, sell subject two. Got one in the middle. That'll do
lease purchase.
Lease purchase. Got one on the end. That'll do owner financing. That's why I put them up here. So let's look at these. Got one here. They owe 130. They're asking 130, and it's worth 130. Pretty easy one right here. They'll sell for what they owe. It says that right there. And their payment is $1,175. Okay. Let's see. There's no equity, and the payment's about at the top of what the rent would be. Let's see. Is this an axe deal, or do we stay in this? Let me think. It's an axe. Okay. So Scott puts it under contract. Probably take it subject to if we wanted to, because they'll sell for what they owe. And he just goes and finds somebody with $10,000 and wants to take over these terms. That's it. Very, very simple. Three bedroom, two bath, 1,500 square foot house that needs no work. That's all there is to it, guys. These are by the gazillions. Gazillions.
That's as simple as it gets, right?
That's as simple as it gets. All right. You put it under contract to either take over the debt subject to or at least purchase it and assign you contract. And that's it. You're out. In the middle here, here's one that's got a $100,000 balance. Where are we getting all these cheap houses at?
Yeah, well,
oh, no, that's the balance.
That's okay. The balance.
He's asking $295, and I don't see comps on here yet, but let's assume it's worth about $295. But look at that payment, $727 a month.
That's on B&I.
That's B&I, okay.
Still have tax insurance.
I got a lease purchase, and it's a 3,000 square foot house, 5 bedroom, 3 bath. Are you kidding me?
Over in hills.
Oh, over a beautiful area. So here's a tough position, okay? We don't have the ARB on here. Come, we don't have the ARB on here. Slacking. Should have comps on this. All right. Let's just say it's worth $295. All right. Anyway, now's a tough one. I don't have any equity if I have to give it $295 on the lease purchase, but I do have a pretty good size monthly spread because I can tell you without even looking, that's a $2,000 a month rental right there. And I put a lease option tenant in that house, get $2,000 payouts. That, well, still got taxes.
These are tax and charges still.
Yeah, probably it's $1,300 a month. So I have to decide if I want to stay in it or not stay in it. The thing that most people will probably do is just go ahead and sign the contract. But here's the good news. If I put this under contract to lease purchase it for the $295, I'm not going to have any problem getting the tenant buyer in here for $1,200, $1,300 a month to satisfy the seller's needs. This baby's gone, stand in line. Now it's just a matter of how much money they want to bring us. $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 for that beautiful house.
And you will find that in many sellers, as long as they're getting the price that they want, if they're willing to work with terms, they're really looking for their debt service to be taken care of. So
yeah.
In this case, if we can get them the price he's looking for,
yeah.
we should have a nice monthly spread.
And guys, just make a point here. What do you care what the price is? If you're not going to stay in the deal, what do you care? Go argue with a guy. Give him the $295. Give him the $295. Put on the contract for $295. Because you know you're going to flip it for $10,000, $15,000. Now, what if some buyer comes in and says, oh, it's a little overpriced. I got to get that price down. Well, great. You just take it back to the seller and say, we need to lower your price to $285. Again, deal after the deal.
That's right.
All right. Over here. Very clear. Guy says he can over finance. I put it on the wrong side, huh? It is an owner finance, yeah. All right. $423,000 asking, and we're going to assume it's worth that or more. Look at that, 3,100 square feet, and this baby is in Middleburg, way south of here. Probably a relatively new home, needs no repairs. Okay.
This is the one.
Yes. Have you got terms on this yet?
Yes, this is the example.
Okay.
So we ended up, this was a house that we, free and clear, will owner finance, and because of Ron's scripts and my ability to implement those scripts,
mostly
the scripts, this is one where high-end, free and clear, we are keeping 100% of the deposit. So we told him how we got paid. He didn't argue with it. So amazing how that happens. So anyway, sell, but only because the homeowner association, which controls the golf course and the pool, ended up going under. Had the dispute with the developers.
This is the Rudine's house.
This is the Rudine's house. So beautiful home. The seller built his dream home, but because of the fact that the golf course and the pool went under, really took values down tremendously.
Yeah,
so, imagine that.
Right? Our golf course lot don't have a golf course anymore. It doesn't pretend to do that yet.
So it was a little bit of a tougher sell. Anyway, we found a great buyer for it, and actually negotiated. I got the deal accepted this morning, as a matter of fact.
So it's a good time. You got it under contract.
Yes.
With owner financing?
Yes.
Not 423.
No, for 360.
For 360. Oh, my goodness. Maybe you're negotiating does have something to do. So we're buying it for 360.
Yeah.
With nothing down.
Nothing down.
At what, $1,650 a month, if I recall?
Yeah.
The $1,650 a month. Got that? However, he's found a buyer with how much down?
$30,000
down. So, and $1,650 is exactly what the buyer wanted per week, I mean per month. So we're just going to sign the contract. Remember, if the buyer buys it for $390, there might still be a little bit of equity in it. But the monthly payment, why are we assigning this? Why are we staying in this? Because it's probably a spread.
Well, we've been back and forth. We've been back and forth on a couple times.
We can decide that, can't we?
We can still decide.
We got to decide whether we want to stay in it or not. Man, there's room to stay in this.
Yeah, I think there is.
Anyway, we'll figure that out later. So we can stay in it because... Well, we won't get any monthly spread. We'll get the 30. We get to keep the 30. But then you're selling to him for $390, though.
Yeah.
Right, then there's no reason to stay in.
He
already opened his big mouth and sold it too cheap, so we got to get out of it now. All right.
No, well, 30 grand. That's going to be the biggest one of the year so far.
This year, yeah. All right. All right. So next page, page 12, classified ads. I think there's probably enough websites to keep you busy till you retire right there. If not, turn the page on page 14, and there's a whole bunch more. Now, this is where you go to run ads that you buy houses, but also it's where you go to run ads that you sell houses when you get to that point. Now, look at my ad on page 12. I buy houses in a condition or area. Cash, confidential. You put cash in there. If the word cash bothers you, just leave it out. I'm confidential, close quickly, even if over-financed, and I'll give you three more words to add to it. Walk away today. Those words, they love those words. Walk away today. Must put your email address in there. Must put your phone in there. And I think we're getting to that here, but now you got to ask yourself, okay, who's going to answer the phone? And I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to be you. So you've got to make, well, it might be you. If you want to answer the phone from sellers, in the beginning, go ahead and do it. I'll tell you right now, you probably won't want to do it very long, and you'll probably lose a few deals doing it. But when you start, maybe you're going to answer the phone from sellers because your calls from sellers won't be anywhere near the extent of your calls from buyers.
Agreed. Agreed.
So maybe you should just take the calls from the sellers.
Well, we have it. We have a space page that it goes to. They actually fill out the form online.
That's if they come online.
Yeah.
But now they're calling.
They're calling.
Okay. If they're calling, somebody's got to take the call.
Mm-hmm.
We use Pat Live with a very simple script just to find out they got a house for sale and their contact information. And then our VA calls them back. Fills out the sheet for us. So if you're going to take the calls yourself, now you're filling out the sheet. Your VA's not doing it for you, but you're going to talk to a lot of people that are motivated, and that's what bothers me about you taking the calls. If you want to go to patlive.com/Ron LeGrand, they'll set you up for $149 a month, and that'll give you 250 minutes of people, live people taking calls for you. patlive.com/Ron LeGrand. If you want someone else to take those calls 24 hours a day, and they forward them to you, then you can forward the ones you want to the VAs to have them call them for you, and then they'll send you back the property information sheet completely filled out. In the meantime, you should be running ads on these websites as well, at least some of them. Again, the big one, Craigslist, Zillow, any more stand to pop out here? Trulia, Craigslist, Zillow, and you should have somebody go through these and see which ones you like and just get the ads on them. And see what they attract to you. What percentage of our leads would you say come from after we run online?
You know, not a ton. We do get calls. In fact, one of the things that we have learned is with Craigslist, we will put probably three or four different ads that have the same essential contact information, but just different headlines. You know, Ron buys houses, Scott buys houses, we buy houses, need cash, behind in payments. I mean, there's just so many different buzz phrases you can use in there. So we find that the more we post on Craigslist, the more we do generate, but most of our leads are coming right from
41 of them were no deal. 48 of them follow up means what? We got to follow up later. That means
or
we have reasons to follow up.
Or in process.
Or process. Mm-hmm. And out of that, we already done four deals.
Actually, I think there's three more. We got one in this morning. Yeah, and there were two more that weren't on there for some reason.
So you still got 48 leads working.
Yes.
Four deals done.
Mm-hmm.
One more came in this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And you think two more.
Yeah.
So if you were to use those examples, literally that is somewhere between 4 and 8% of the total leads generated actually turned into deals. That's a pretty good average. Remember, 41 of them were just worthless, meaning nobody would do business with them. They're out in the cloud somewhere. They want all cash retail price. Very, very good numbers. Do you have? Oh, you wrote that down. So far, four done deals, one to three more pending out of 93 leads. 41 of them, no deal. 48 of them still in the works. So out of that 48, you're probably going to get another two, three, four deals, aren't you?
Oh, I'd say so. We've got a stack of them working through right now.
All right. So how are you going to get these leads? If you'll turn to page 15 in your book, you'll see our VA services offered to you there. And you're probably going to be looking at the upper right-hand corner. That would be the Gold Plus VA. For $497 a month, you can get 20 hours of VA service plus our Gold Club membership and leads coming to your email every day from FISBOs that are scoured on the Internet in two counties that you choose where you live. Say that again. For $497 a month, you're a Gold Club member. You get leads coming to you every day, of which you pick out the ones you want to send to the VAs a call. And you get 20 hours of VA service calling a FISBOs for you. Guys, that is a really, really good deal because these are trained VAs. You really only have two or three choices. Make the calls yourself. That'll probably last 20 minutes or less. Train your own VA to do it or somebody you know. That might last 2 weeks before you're going to be retraining another one. And by the way, our VA service exists because we know how hard it is to get people to make these calls on a consistent basis. So we decided to provide that service for our customers. Believe me, it ain't one of the most profitable things we're doing. You got to go get your own VA, which you can do, or you can use our VAs, which are already trained for you. And if you use our VAs, you don't have to pay them, monitor them, fire them, retrain them, or any of that stuff. It's all done for you as part of your $497 a month. The $497 a month is strictly for calling FISBOs. So that's the only service you're going to get provided. They're not providing any secretarial services for that price. That would be at the other level here. So anyway, there's what you get in the four packages that we're offering. Call our office if you want to talk about acquiring a VA. They'll get you to the right person, and then you can get all the information sent to you. They have to have a conversation with you before you start it anyway. So I don't see the phone number on here. Call our office. Let me give you that. 904-262-0491. 904-262-0491.
Can I interject something here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you've always said it's good for people maybe in the early days to try to call their own FISBOs and see all the crap that you have to put up with and trying to catch them at a good time and them calling you back on the whole nine yards. But you're going to find very quickly that you burn out from doing that. You don't want to be the one calling the FISBOs. It gets very tedious, very cumbersome. And of course, this is the done-for-you service like this is makes life a lot easier.
I'm going to tell you, I know exactly what's going to happen if you're calling the FISBOs, and I don't think this, I know this, they're around too long. You're going to call several of them before you realize that not everybody you call is so much fun to talk to. And some of them are just downright rude. I mean, they can't be mad at you. It never ceases to amaze me. I run an ad, and then when somebody calls me, I'm upset. What did I expect? I can defuse them in a real hurry. I love it when I get pissed off people on the phone. I just tell them, say, listen, did you run an ad? Yeah. Did you expect anybody to call? Yeah. Well, hey, I'm here. But honestly, I'm losing interest quickly with your bad attitude. Do you want to sell your house or not? I love it. Watch the legs go out from underneath them. But look, let's be real here. There's no way anybody can take that kind of pressure ongoing and keep their motivation up. So let other people do what they do best. Get out of the way, but you do what you do best. You make deals. You don't do all the grunt work. Let the VAs do the grunt work. And it goes beyond just calling FISBOs, because we got VAs that will do all the other stuff for you as well, if you want. But calling those FISBOs, again, is critical. You don't do it, you don't have business. So they've got to get called. Service is there if you want it. And then you decide. Just call in if you want to talk about it. All right. page 16. Because here are your magic scripts, folks. And in fact, the next three pages are worth their weight in gold to you. And I wrote these pages, and they work like a charm if you use them. Scripts are king. When you try to get off script, you make a mess, especially when you're brand new. There will be a time when you don't need these scripts anymore, but it's not now. And even if you think you got it, you don't got it. In fact, I can tell you to be brutal and blunt, which I sometimes am. In fact, pretty much always am. Even if you think you understand the Zacks thing, you probably don't understand the Zacks thing, because we learned so many things that we didn't know in the past, especially this thing about dealing with sellers and redoing the deal and coming back and renegotiating at the end and making it clear that's our intent. Honestly, that is more and more of a part of our business today. And this thing about dealing with the higher-end houses, guys, I'm telling you, you got to move up. Get out of this $100,000 crap. In fact, you know, those two deals I showed you there, I didn't like them. I told him, I gave him direct orders. Don't talk to anybody unless their house is worth $300,000 or more. So his staff called him those folks. In fact, you already got a contract on that one, don't you?
Yeah.
Actually, you got a contract on the one on the right.
Yeah.
I think you got one on the one on the left.
Yesterday.
So you got the one on the left yesterday, you got the one on the right a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
Yeah, all right. He's got a deal in the big money. Turn is key. All right. So let's look at these scripts, because I wrote these so that anybody can call them. Now, remember, folks, these are not for your VA to call. These are for you to call. Your VA's done the front-end work. Your VA's provided you with a yes or no answer on the property information sheet. Now, you got to pick up the phone and adapt the appropriate script to that information sheet. So if you look at the top, I've made that as easy for you as I know how. On page 16, for example, it says, script to call back a FSBO with a yes on will you sell for what you owe. pretty simple, huh? So when it comes back yes in that left-hand block, this is what you say. Hi, John, this is Ron. I'm calling you back here about your home you discussed with my assistant yesterday. You have a minute? We always like to let them tell us if we have permission to use their time. Just a courteous thing to do. Okay, well, listen, I've got all the facts here. You've indicated you sell the house for what you own. Is that correct? So we're verifying what we think we're seeing. And look at the lines, guys. If the answer is no, then what did you have in mind? And that's going to lead you into a discussion probably about, what's on their mind. If they didn't say they'd sell for what they owed, did the VA get it wrong, or did they really just change their mind? If they say yes, okay, well, I can come see the house and likely buy it and close as soon as you're ready and pay the closing costs. But the only way I can do that for me is to do so is to take over your debt, John. That means I'll buy your house and make the payments when you and I agree. I'll start, but the loan will stay in your name until sometime in the future when I get it cashed out. Will that be a problem for you? Guys, that paragraph will let you know real quick when you take over the debt subject to. Do not be afraid to read that paragraph. Now we've made it very clear we'll buy the house, but we've got to take over the debt and the loan will stay in their name. I don't know any better way to do it. Just point blank tell them. Now, follow the line. What if they say, that'd be a problem for you if they say yes. Skip down to the yes. Yeah, well, if that's an issue, I can at least purchase it and cover your payment with rent and handle all the repairs. Does that seem more appealing? So you see, if you have a problem with the subject to, you just jump into the lease option script. And of course, if they say yes, then you make the appointment. And up here, if they say it's not a problem, you make the appointment. Don't worry, I got an appointment script for you, too, because I don't want you to screw that up. So look, just follow the script and get to the appointment. That's your whole goal. On the next page, script to call back a physical with a yes on the lease option question, like the one in the center. Behind me here. Same front end paragraph. Is that correct? In other words, did you say you would lease purchase it? Yes. Okay, go all the way down to the bottom. Follow the line. All the way down to the yes. Okay, well, I can probably lease it and cover your payments with rent, and we can work on the price when I get there after I do a little homework. As long as I know you're flexible and realistic, I'm ready to move forward. May I assume you are? Now, let's make a point here. Because I see students doing this wrong all the time. Guys, we are not trying to negotiate the deal over the telephone. We're not trying to pinpoint the fine points. We're simply trying to confirm that they will lease purchase, they will offer the exit, they will sell for what they owe, and that they're flexible. The loan, I'm not going to their house. So I don't really care what the price is at this point. We'll worry about that when we get to the house, because I know it's either going to be one I stay in or one I assign as an axe deal. Either way, I'm on their house. Now's not the time to get into the nitty-gritty. However, it is the time to confirm whether you even want to go to the house.
That's such a good point. I've seen people literally negotiate themselves out of the deal, trying to carve out the sweetest terms that they can on a phone call. You put yourself in the seller's shoes. It's your first phone call to them. They're just getting to know you. Kind of, you're getting a feel for them and whether or not it makes sense for you to try to negotiate and split hairs over terms that may or may not be appealing.
Well, I've never seen it.
I haven't seen it. That's what they're thinking too, by the way. I haven't even seen my house here and you're negotiating with me.
Right.
As long as they're flexible and they will work with terms, that's when you want to obviously set the appointment and get in the car and go see them.
Okay. Now, what if they say no? I didn't say I'd lease purchasing. Look at my script. Bottom line. Well, would you rather I buy it with owner financing if we can work out the terms? Wait for an answer. Okay. What's the least that's least? L-E-A-S-T. You can accept if we can agree on the terms. Is that the best you can do? Now, pause. Don't just keep reading. Pause. All right, wait for an answer. Is that the best you can do? Well, we assume with nothing down. Actually, I want you to rephrase that right now. Make a note. Make a note. Those are not the words. The words are, may I assume you will sell with nothing down? Big difference. Big difference. May I assume you will sell with nothing down? And you're doing the assumption clause. And then if they say no, then your next question is, well, what's the least you can take down? And if they say yes, shut up and go to the next question and ask them what the lowest payment they can take is and make the appointment. It's really that simple. By the time you go through this script, they will either lease purchase or they'll sell with owner financing. They won't do either. You know what to do. Nothing. Nothing. If they say yes, then you make the appointment. Follow the script. All right, the next one is the one that scares everybody, and that's what do I do with all these free and clear houses? Because I don't know what to say to them. What do you do now? Look at page 18. Script to call back a FSBO with a free and clear house with a yes on owner financing question. Property information sheet. I've got all the facts here, and you've indicated you would entertain taking monthly payments if we can agree on a price and terms. Is that correct? If it's yes, go all the way down to the bottom. You see the same script. Okay, well, what's the least you can accept if we can agree on terms? Is that the best you can do? May I assume you will sell with nothing down? All right, what's the least you can take down? What's the lowest monthly payment you can take? That's all I need to know. That's all I need to know to make the appointment. If I get the answers, I'm going to make the appointment, because there's only one or two things going to happen on free and clear house where they'll take terms. Either you're going to get a lower no down and a low payment, which means golden goose, stay in. Or you're going to get a retail asking price with a higher payment and a larger down payment, which means sign it up and exit and find a buyer who will pay you more and sign the contract. That's it, guys. So where we used to throw these unreasonable, we call them owner financing deals on pretty clear houses in the trash. You don't do that today. Now we go sign them up, put them out in the marketplace.
Your intention's clear. And let me just say one thing here. In the script here, Ron uses the word entertain, taking monthly payments. Would you consider a lease purchase? Well, remember, when the VAs are calling, they're asking the questions, and the sellers are indicating that, yes, it's something they would consider. I've seen people call and assume that that's absolutely set in stone in the gospel when they call back and say, you absolutely would take lease purchase. You absolutely would send a seller with owner financing. Remember, the VA is giving you the front-end information. They're opening the door for you. So my approach, and I share this with you, is kind of soft. As long as they're there to entertain or consider it, you've got them where you want them, and obviously that's when you follow the script. But if they say yes on the VA lead sheet or the property information sheet, doesn't mean it's always going to be a yes.
That
doesn't mean
right.
They're absolutely
a yes. But is it?
That's right.
And the script does that for you. And look at this one. Well, they say, no, I didn't say that. So you're saying all cash is the only way you'll sell? I love that line, guys. It cuts to the chase. Because if they say yes, you're done. Conversation over with. Where you can't say here, okay, well, the only way I can do that and get you anywhere near what you're asking is for you to refinance the house and keep the cash, and I'll take over your debt or at least purchase it from you immediately. Is that something you want to discuss? You see, if you don't ask them that, they'll never think of that. And it's not that common for somebody who says, yeah, I'll go refinance. But, hey, it's common enough for you to ask the question.
surprised that it gets people thinking a little bit.
Hey, would you talk to them a little bit about these LOIs here in the book?
Sure.
Because I'm going to take a real quick break.
All right.
Got it. All right.
Well, one of the things that Ron and I, we actually did a little lesson video yesterday. That'll come out probably tomorrow's weekly. We differ a little bit. I'm a bear on LOIs. I've always felt that letter of intent is a very simple way for you to convey in very layman's terms to the seller and or buyer of what your intent of the agreement is and what the essence of the agreement is. So whereas Ron will say, you know, look, if you don't have to send the seller information, don't send it to them. I can't disagree. If they're interested and they want to move forward, set the appointment, you know, don't waste time. I think that you should always go for that. But I find in most of our calls that we make, it does require us sending them a letter of intent, which kind of breaks down, as I tell them, in a very simple one-page synopsis, what we just discussed on the phone. They like to have something in their hands.
It's about 12:30.
They do want to have our chief to kind of reiterate in their minds what we just discussed. So I have a propensity to go ahead and send the LOI to most of the sellers that we talk to. So I would tell you that we have tweaked it a couple times. It very, very clearly lays out in layman's terms what our intent is. And again, we've talked about this already. We're going to continue to talk about it. We make crystal clear to the seller what our intent is. In fact, we've even gotten into a habit now where we really are pounding it into their heads what our intent is, that we're going to agree to their terms. In some cases, we'll tell them we're not crazy about them, but we're not the market. We're not going to prejudge what the market will bear. We're going to take it to the market, to our target buyers and target demographic, and see what it bears when we will bring that back to
you. I can take it a step further. I tell them your terms suck. I don't think we're going to get them, but we'll give it a shot.
I heard him say it, too.
Tell them, listen, I can almost assure you we're going to come back and renegotiate. We're going to fight it out, though there's only one of us standing.
Well, and you say it with a smile, by the way.
I do say
that. But you're making the point clear, and that is what we're
crystal
finding.
Clear. Yeah. Not like it is.
You do, it makes things a lot easier. So I was just sharing with them how, you know, we differ sometimes on this, when we sell it, how I went not to. But
I'm going to tell you right now my version, okay? His version, my version. I don't like LOIs. I don't like sending them out. It just gives them more to think about and more to object to. I'm going to do everything I can to keep from sending them one. And absolutely never going to send them a contract, guys. Do not send a contract to them until you have seen the house and you got a meeting of the minds.
We've literally lost a deal over.
We've lost many deals over. Students lose more over. Do not send contracts. That will scare them for sure. But LOI, I would send it only if I think we have a reason to do business and the seller says, I need to see something in writing because I don't fully understand what you're talking about. Well, first I'm going to ask them, let me explain it again. Okay? And in simple terms, simple, simple. By the way, the more senior they are, the simpler it's got to be. Good point. Do not get complicated with seniors. You will lose it for sure. So I will only send them, frankly, I won't send them at all. It's my opinion. If I think I got a reason, I'll go to the house. I'll make sure they understand it, and then we either got a deal or we don't. If I don't send this, there's nothing for them to get upset about.
Sure.
And if they don't want to make an appointment with me, I got to believe that there's a reason that they're not telling me, and that this ain't going to do a bit of good. That's my experience.
Well, and I would add two things. One is, especially in the early days, you're certainly going to make appointments that you don't leave with a contract on. And some cases, maybe even waste a trip here and there. I think there's merit to face-to-face. If you meet in front of them, if it makes sense, obviously, to make the trip. But I do find, and I've shared this with a lot of students, that you get through a call, you get through the script, the seller is interested, but maybe not ready to get the appointment. So
well, then Mr. Seller, let me come out to your house and take a look. And by the time I leave, we'll know if we're going to work with each other or not. Is that fair? And any questions you have, may I answer them when I arrive? Before I come, though, I just need to know that you are flexible. And you're going to work with me to get your house moved. You understand? I don't get paid till you get paid. And you're at no risk? Yes? Okay. When do you want me to come?
Record this.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We're recording it. But I'm telling you, I don't need these LOIs.
That's a good point.
Me, this is nothing more than a cowardly way to keep from facing the seller. I've made my case.
All right.
But in case you want to take the cowardly way out, you have three samples here. You have one for an over-leverage, one for not over-leverage, and one with buy with owner financing. Guys, listen to me. some good language. I think I've made it crystal clear what our intent is here, which is actually the whole reason for this thing to begin with. And not as simple as we know how. So again, samples, samples. And that goes for every kind of form or agreement you get for anybody, for anything. Our agreements, once you run them by your attorney, you got to do that once. Just fill in the blanks. But forms like that, they might change with every single deal, some of them. So
just for the record, we just have our attorneys review all the documents, and you have to just post them to Gold Club.
We'll show them on Gold Club site. All right. All right, next page on page 19 is the act script to buy if highly leveraged, which means over leveraged. You might want to change the word highly for over, because this is strictly for an over leveraged house. I think it's crystal clear our intent. We're telling them point blank, we'll come out and put it under contract, and we'll find the buyer, and then that we can both agree upon, and then we'll assign a contract to them, and that costs them nothing, and they have no risk really. Pretty good script for over-leveraged houses. You'll find over-leveraged houses real pretty easy to deal with for the most part, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And in fact, I think it's in here somewhere, almost sure, but I guess the question we should answer here is why would a seller lease option their house to you or sell it to you if they're over-leveraged and allow a 10-year lease? I think I've got it in here in New Texas, but just to run by quickly, look at here's their choices, guys. Number one, they can stay in it for the long term. And if they were going to do that, they wouldn't have run an ad to begin with. Number two, they can just walk away, which many are doing. And the house will go into foreclosure. They'll lose their credit, but the problem solved. Problem is solved. Number three, they can do a short sale. All that means is they got to go get a realtor to list it, and then they got to find the buyer, and then they got to get an offer, and then they got to get the bank to approve it. You know, and months later, and maybe I found that market understands what short sales are, but they just don't want to do them. Some will, most won't. And lastly, we come in and say, let me get you out of this thing now. Here's what I can do. I'll lease option it, or I'll buy it with more financing or whatever. Your payment will be covered in 30 days after we put somebody in. You don't need to worry about repairs anymore. And ultimately, we'll do our best to get it cashed out. It's their choice, but obviously it's pretty easy to see why they are glad you came into their life. All right. Now, the next one is your appointment script. Guys, please use this appointment script on page 20. Don't make this up. There's a couple key important ingredients here is why I created this script. All right, you've got to turn, they're flexible. They say they'll lease purchase, order finance, or sell for what they owe. All right? Okay, John, but I have a couple more questions. Are you the only owner of the house? Guys, you don't want to go to a house when you know there's two owners and only one of them's there. That is detrimental. That is causing more harm than good. You will not leave with a contract because the other person still has to sign. And can you imagine one of them trying to explain this to the other one? No way it's going to get translated correctly. So make sure both of them are present or don't go, except when they're in the middle of a divorce and you have no choice. If they're in a divorce situation or maybe even the husband's out of town or something, then you got to go. I would still, if they were in a divorce situation, I always ask them, okay, is your husband or wife okay with you selling the house, and are you guys on the same page? I don't want them to jerk my chain and have me go run around by a house where I'm in the middle of the War of the Roses. incidentally, while I'm on that subject, if the divorce is over, you might want to ask he or she, how do you own the house? Have you been granted title to the house? Because many times, a judge will order that the husband or the wife gets to keep making payments, but they both jointly own the house. And he who makes payments thinks they own the house. All right, so I don't want to see how exactly this title got transferred. It only did one of two ways. Either one deeded it to the other, or the judge transferred title from one party to the other. And without that, they both own the house, and you still need both of their signatures. So anyway, I want to know that both are there. All owners are there, or I'm not going to go. Accept those exceptions. Sometimes we have to go get one to sign and send it to the other. All right. And secondly, one last question, John. If I come to your house and I like what I see and we agree on the details, are you ready to make a decision now and get some paperwork done while I'm there? I cannot tell you how many times I went out to people's houses. Oh, well, no, I'm not ready to sell. I was just looking. Come out here and tell me what you'll do. No, baloney. yes, I'm going. If I get a, well, I don't know, I'm not sure I want to sell right now, my answer is going to be, well, how about calling me back when you're sure? Because I've got a whole lot of houses to see here this week, and I have no time to look at those which I cannot buy. So crystal clarity, I'm telling you, saved you an awful lot of trips.
You know, we learned this lesson about 2 weeks ago. Marcy, who you saw on the tour there, had an appointment for us and went in the car and assumed that she had confirmed that they were ready to move forward. We got there, and
yep.
It was him hawing around and was looking for us to tell him what work he should or shouldn't do. And
yep.
Came very clear early on that we weren't there.
Things were coming to realtor, come out and list their eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
And suck up to them, you know, beg them for their business. Mm-hmm. We're going to get to that in a little while, guys, but we ain't begging anybody to do anything.
In fact, it's the opposite.
In fact, they got to convince us why we should take our time to solve their problem for them, or we're kind of out of here. Now, I know that sounds crude and brutal and mean. Go visit 100 houses that you're not buying and see if you don't get to be the same way.
Well, that's going to be tough for them to understand that the when you value your time and
yeah.
respect your time, it comes across to the sergeant you're dealing with. They value you back more so when you do it yourself.
In other words, you make it crystal clear without getting brutal and nasty. Now, I'm not, but please don't misconstrue what I say. In fact, if I'm talking to a seller, it's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde,
right?
Nicest guy you ever want to meet. But if I tell somebody that I'm not going to come unless both parties are there, and I get out to their house and they just point blank lied to me, I'm telling you right now, I am losing interest fast. So I'll go take a look at the house and I'll leave them. Listen, you promised me both of you'd be here. I kept my promise. You didn't. So if you still want to sell this house, let me know when you come to me, because this was my last trip to your house. And I have no problem telling them that. Basically, I'm saying, you lied, and I don't like liars.
Yeah. Let me add one more thing. So, things go well. Follow the script, the appointment script. You get they answer the questions favorably. You make the trip to the home. Everything goes well. Ron, I talked about this yesterday. One of the things I do see people stumbling on is they don't ask for the business. So when you are there and everything goes well, one of the things I'll say, any reason that you're not ready to move forward with me today? And you just ask for the business. Don't hesitate when you're there. Put them on the spot, and obviously you want to leave with a contract. So
if you can.
If you can.
Now, you won't always leave with a contract.
That's true.
I think it's fair to say in a higher price house, less chance you're going to leave with a contract.
That's true.
And I'm coming to the objections here right after we take a break. And, in fact, I'm going to go, John, you guys can get the screen ready now. Guys, I'm going to spend a few minutes with you telling you about an absolutely great deal if you want to come to my 4-day training, which God will likely be at as well, and give you a chance to get that deal because you're here today. Give me a few minutes to do that, and then we're going to take a 15-minute lunch break. If you happen to already own my Quick Start School, you can go ahead. Well, don't go yet because I'm going to ask God a few questions here that I've got that I want to get the answers to while they're setting up the spring. Scott, what percentage... would you say, of all of our total deals that come to us, what percentage of them would you say are free and clear?
Yeah, we're down a little bit from maybe the past 6-8 months for whatever reason. I'd probably tell you 20-25% today are free and clear. A couple months
probably 25%.
Yeah, I told you maybe close to a third free and clear. But
nationwide, guys, 34% of all the houses in America are free and clear. And again, that's our favorite target by far. We're talking about act deals here today. But when I'm dealing with free and clear houses, I am really looking for those ones I can stay in. They are gold. They are an absolute money tree. We need to negotiate terms on the good ones. Listen, we get in with little or no down and a low payment. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're fighting for. That's what everything we do is dedicated to. We only do the axe deals when we can't get the kind of terms that we want. So we can really, on free and clear houses, you have way more flexibility, especially get that payment down low. Total overall calls to these FSBO sheets, would you say you make to get one visit?
I would tell you that typically if we have 5 less yes leads, usually 2 of those 5 are going to convert.
5 yeses, 2 of the 5 are going to convert to what?
To a visit. To a visit and ideally ultimately a contract.
So you're saying you can get 40% of your yeses?
Typically,
make an appointment.
Yes, yes. And I will, in fact, I read that, I thought you meant it. How many calls do we make prior? follow up a day later than to make the appointment. So,
yours it takes about 2 calls per visit?
Yes.
In some cases?
In some cases. Right. We're also talking higher at home. So,
Folks
a little bit more.
I hope you guys understand you do have to do more dancing with higher at homes. Yes. All right. People are more sophisticated. They want to get to know you a little bit more. They want to know you're real. And what comes out of your mouth basically will determine that. And guys, look, I know this takes practice. I'm giving you the best scripts. Let me give you the best training. And I promise you very, very quickly you will pick it up. Scott didn't pick it up in the beginning. Of course, it didn't exist in the beginning. We were creating it as you came aboard 2.5 years ago. And to be fair, it took him 6 weeks to get his first deal done. And he lost his hair in that process.
There's the way.
So back to this. You made, you say you get about 40% of the yeses that can turn into appointments.
Correct.
All right. So how many visits do you have to make on the average to get a deal?
Well, I would say certainly 2.5 years ago, the statistics would have been lower. I would make trips and obviously wouldn't leave with the contract. Today, because of the filing scripts and, of course, really making sure that we're vetting the sellers the right way, and we're good about that. We really try not to leave our desk until we know we've got a deal.
Right.
Of course, I've had to build up to that point, and I've had to make sure that I've conveyed that clearly to the sellers. But I would tell you about 8 out of 10 times we are going to walk with a contract, 7 to 8 out of 10 times.
All right. That's you.
That's me, with a lot of practice. So
that's of visits now.
That's visits.
So you're saying 7 or 8 times out of 10 you're going to get a deal if you visit the house.
That's correct.
But you're very good at pre-screening them before you go out.
Exactly.
Our listeners here are going to probably make a lot more visits before they learn who to visit, who not to visit.
Correct.
So if they get 1 out of 3, I'd say that'd be really good.
Yeah.
So, guys, if you get 1 out of 3 visits, I mean, how many contracts do you want a month is probably something you better ask yourself.
Yeah.
Because that's going to depend on how systemized you get to be able to handle them after you get them. It's one thing to put them under contract, but then we get them sold, we got nothing except a contract. We don't have any risk, but we don't have any money either. Okay. You said about 80% of our total deals right now are axe deals.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any idea what percentage of the ones you put under contract you have to renegotiate later?
Yeah. Well, I would say that, when you deal with over-leveraged homes, there's really not a lot to renegotiate. It is what it is. It's an axe deal, and you're keeping the deposit in the first month's payment. Because we don't have as many over-leveraged homes today, I would tell you that about 90% of the deals we're doing right now, we are going back and renegotiating in some form or fashion.
Okay. We don't go renegotiate over-leveraged houses, though.
Correct.
Because there's nothing to renegotiate. The payment is fixed. The purchase price is fixed. The only thing that's negotiable is the assignment fee, right? Okay. And did we cover this? What percentage of the no's turned into the yeses? We said about a third, didn't we?
About
25 to 35%.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
And the percentage of yeses that are no's, about two-thirds of them.
Yeah. There's some yeses that really are no's.
So the average time on the market.
You know, I would say from contract to contract, meaning from when you put it on the front end and actually close it, probably 45 to 50 days. I'd like to think it's less than that. And there's certainly deals. We did one in the summer when we wrote it at 11 o'clock and had it sold and deposited at 4:30. So there's exceptions. But I think to be fair, I would probably say somewhere around the 45-day mark.
So some of them are a few days. Some of them take longer.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you guys the reason for that is because many of the buyers he brings in, I don't want. And so we turn down a lot of buyers. And we can do that. See, when you put yourself in a position to where you got no money going out, you made no promises you have to keep, you got no payments staring you in the face, you got no pending closing, no deadlines. If we go out and we find them buyers, fine. If we don't, we don't. In fact, that's another question. How often do we put something under contract and don't find the buyer for it?
Very rarely. In fact, I would tell you 8 out of 10 deals we typically are closing. Number one, we've done a good job pre-screening.
Yeah.
Number two, we've educated the seller clearly on what our intent is.
Yeah.
Number three, we are targeting we're targeting buyers that typically are able to perform. And so most of our deals, because of that, are going to close. Now, there are some that don't, but most of them are going to close.
And the reason that it takes us so long to get these deals done is because, gosh, I'd say you bring a $200,000 house in here. We probably got 3, 4, 5, or 6 candidates, but they just don't have enough money to satisfy my greed. Is that about size?
I would say that.
bunch of money, you're in a hurry. They come in with a mediocre amount of money, you're not in such a big hurry.
That's exactly right. Yeah, we want to wait for the big deposit. We get people calling all day with $5,000 and $7,000.
Right, right.
You know, in fact, it was funny. $10,000 used to excite us a lot. Somebody calling $10,000.
Yeah.
Now it's like a disappointment when they have $10,000. I mean, really,
we
get an application of 10 grants. Like, yeah, there's another 10. But we'll make a point also, because I've heard your story about how at one point you had, 29 mortgages you were paying on.
Yeah.
And almost broke you.
Yeah. Those lessons come hard.
Yeah. Well, a couple months ago, we had about 35 homes on our inventory list. We were very top heavy, and there was a reason for that. But I remember looking at my board one day and realized that we have no payments on any of these homes. No utilities, no taxes, no nothing.
No risk.
There's no risk and no cost. And what a beautiful thing that is compared to having 29 mortgages.
You guys, it only took me about 25 years to figure that one out. All right. And right now, I have 18 minutes till 1 Eastern Standard Time. We are going to take a break and come back at 3 minutes till 1. 3 minutes till 1 will give you 15 minutes for lunch, as I promised. So I hope you've got some food standing by. Again, you can submit your questions. When I come back, I'm going to take the questions that we have now. And Scott and I are going to continue on here because we got a lot to cover yet today. And we're just now getting through buying. We're not even finished buying yet. We've got to get through selling. So